Our reading today comes from the book of Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is the last in the series on resetting your life, and this week we focus on looking ahead. As I think about this, there's probably no time in our lives that we fixated on the future more than right now during this pandemic. We wonder, how long will the pandemic last? When will we reopen? When we reopen, will it be the same as it was before? Where is the economy going? Will there be a vaccine? When will the vaccine be available? Will I have a job? Will life ever be the same? We are all asking questions about the future, and we need to consider what is driving our focus on the future. If we're all thinking about the future, we need to think about how we're looking ahead and thinking about the future, and that's what we're going to do this morning together. To do so, we're going to turn to this incredibly powerful text in Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is in Hebrew scripture, and we're going to look at chapter 43. Now notice these three powerful words with which this book begins in verse 1. The words are, do not fear. Do not fear. Now in one sense, that can bring a level of comfort. The Israelites were struggling. They had had so many bad things happen to them, they could not envision anything good could happen. And so they had fear for their future, just as we have fear in the midst of this pandemic. And so when it says, do not fear, it's acknowledging that we have fear within us. And in a sense, fear can be good, because when our health is threatened or finances are threatened or relationships are threatened, fear rises up and tells us something is wrong and we need to focus on it. We need to act on it. But here's the trouble. Sometimes when fear rises within us, it stays within us and it creeps into other areas of our lives and it begins to consume us. And when fear begins to consume our lives, it narrows what we see as possible, whereas faith expands what we see as possible. When I think about this, I think about this handy little flashlight that I have. I use it in the evening to take Gracie out when she does her stuff. You know what I mean. The cool thing about this flashlight is that I can twist this and either expand the beam of light, or I can restrict the beam of light so it's narrowly focused. And I think when fear begins to consume us, it narrows that beam tighter and tighter and tighter until all we can see is only the fear in our lives. And all we can contemplate are the bad things that can happen to us. And when that happens, worry is not far behind. Fear consumes our lives with worry. And what is worry? It's sitting around thinking about all the bad things that can happen to us. Now, my grandmother was a champion worrier. She was great at worry. I can't tell you the number of times she said, I'm worried about you. Not that I would do bad things, that bad things would happen to me. And I finally asked her, Grandma, why do you worry so much? And she said, I worry because I care. And some of us think that worry helps us care. There's others of us who think that if we worry, then we can't be surprised by bad things because we don't like surprises. And research tells us that sometimes when we worry and bad things don't happen, subconsciously, we're convinced that worrying helps keep bad things away. So what do? We worry more. In the words of Irma Bombeck, it doesn't get us very far because she said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And that's exactly what happens with fear and worry. It holds us back. And we can no longer see anything good in our futures. Now, I wish that fear was only something that impacted us personally and within us. But the truth is that fear shapes how we see others as well. And if we have fear well up inside of us, we can begin to see others as a threat. And we see that happening every day now during this pandemic. I was so saddened to learn that we have members of our community from the Asian American community in New York City, and they live in Chinatown. And I just learned that there is such anti-Asian prejudice right now that she lives with her parents, and her mother was walking down the street and somebody spit on her. And her father was walking down the street and felt physically threatened and was chased into a store. I cannot believe that this is happening now, and it's driven by fear. And we see it in the rise of anti-Semitism. We see it in the rise of prejudice and violence against people of color. And it's driven by fear that sees others as a threat. And I want to be able to name that now, because our calling in this moment is to show a fear that strikes out against another is no way to live, and it will get us nowhere. That we need to show people what faith looks like and what love looks like in this moment that brings us together. That is our calling in this moment. And it leaves us with a question. How do we move from a fear that holds us back or strikes out at others to a faith that opens up the possibilities that we can see and shows us how to love one another? And I think this passage says something very important about that. If we read past verse 1, do not fear, it teaches us something. And it teaches us this. It says, before you can look ahead, you need to look up. Because we will not be able to look ahead differently unless we look up first to God. Notice it says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. And then it goes on to say that you're going to face water rushing through your life, and I'll be with you. Rivers will flow through your life trying to knock you over, but you'll not be overwhelmed. Fire is going to come that you'll have to walk through, and you will not be consumed. It's a way of saying that you're going to face challenging times. And when you do, remember to look up first, to look up to God. Because there we find what we need to be able to look ahead in new ways. Maybe there are some of us who are carrying this guilt and shame within us about things we did or didn't do in the past. But when we look up to God, we experience this grace and forgiveness that frees us to look ahead in new ways. Maybe we're experiencing a brokenness within us, a brokenness perhaps brought by relationships that have failed. And then we look up to God and we experience a sense of love and healing and wholeness that restores us so that we can look ahead in new ways. Or maybe we're feeling like we just don't have the strength to go on. We do not have the strength to face what is before us. But then we look up to God and we draw strength from God so that we know we can look ahead and move ahead in new ways. When I think about this, I think about an experience I had in sixth grade. It was a moving up ceremony. Now, I want to say I'm so sorry to all of you who are missing your moving up ceremonies from kindergarten and elementary school and middle school and high school, and all you who are graduating. I want you to know we're going to find a way to celebrate you, but I'm so sorry you have to miss this moment. Well, in my moving up ceremony, the tradition was the teachers would nominate and select someone to give a speech, and they selected me. Now, I was excited because, to be honest, I didn't mind being the center of attention, but I did not want to give that speech. You know how cruel your classmates can be? And I didn't want to go up in front of people and be embarrassed or judged. In fact, I really had thought about begging out, not doing it. Well, I was in my Sunday school class talking with my teacher about this speech, and he said this. He said, why don't you think about your faith and what you think people need to hear? That was like an aha moment to me, because I think in some ways fear had so gripped me that my only focus was on myself and all the bad things that could happen. I could not see beyond that, but with that question, that challenge, I began to see that maybe there was an opportunity to say something. So I thought about it and I prayed about it like an elementary child would. And I finally came to the conclusion that I wanted to give a speech on being humane. That was the title. And what I wanted to talk about was how important it was to be compassionate in school and in our friendships and in our families. So I took out this pad of paper. I can still see it, and I can see the title, Being Humane, and I wrote out the speech. And then I gave it to my teacher, who had to approve it before I could give it. He read it, and then later that day, he gave it back to me and said, it needs some work. He said, couldn't you talk more about the achievements of this class and looking to the future? And honestly, I think I would have been crushed before. But because I was thinking about my faith and God and what I was called to say in that moment, I thought about it for a day, and then I went back, put it on his desk, and said, it's the same speech. I really think this is what I need to say. And he said, then say it. And I can still remember that moment, stepping on that stage with hundreds of students and parents. And before, because of fear, all I saw were people who were going to judge me. But for whatever reason, now mind you, I was very nervous, I saw people through the light and love of God, the bigger beam. And I saw people who were there to support me. And support me they did. I don't think it was a great speech, honestly, but they still were supportive. And that's what happens. When we have fear, it constricts our view. So what do we need to do to open up that view? We need to look up before we look ahead. And when we do, God opens up the possibilities that we can see. And that's exactly where this passage is moving. When we get to verse 19, it says, I'm doing a new thing. It's shooting up. Can't you perceive it? You see, it's so easy for us to focus on the decline of what was, and we're all experiencing that during the pandemic, and not being able to see the emergence of what could be. And this passage is saying, if you look up and you look out through the light and love of God, look for the sprouts of new things that are emerging. This is truly an opportunity when we can reset our lives. When new things can emerge that help us live in new ways and have new priorities. New things can emerge that help us love and care for one another more deeply. New things emerge that help us move from a love that strikes out at others to a faith that manifests itself in deep love for one another. New things can emerge in this moment. And so my prayer for us all is that we have fear within us and we'll name it, but then we'll stop, we'll look up to God and look ahead in new ways, knowing that when we look through the light and love of God, we will see the new things that God is doing in our midst. And may it be so for all of us. Amen.